T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Crowder, we haven't even talked yet, and I'm mad at you. Like, the show hasn't even started. We're 17 seconds into the show. You haven't even voiced your opinion on what I know is going to be your opinion. I'm already mad at you.
You can't be. Don't put words in my mouth, man. Let them come out before you get mad at me.
You're probably going to
get mad at me, yeah, but.
Yeah, you're afraid. You're afraid for Sunday. Admit it. Let's go. Let's start it. You're afraid.
I'm not. What am I afraid of? I have guts now with Tua.
Let's go.
I have the guts with Tua.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not afraid. I'm excited for Sunday. That would be the word I could use. I'm extremely excited for Sunday.
Because I know watching last night, 21 pressures, 4 sacks. It's easy to take away from last night's game and say, yeah, Tua's going to get crushed on Sunday. Like, he is not prepared. He has not played in the NFL yet. Real meaningful snaps. It's easy to say, yeah, he's not ready for what's coming to him. That Rams defensive line. Like, he is just not prepared for it. It's easy to say that, right? Like, I think it's easy. That could be the main takeaway from watching last night's game.
Oh, no. The main takeaway, and to your point of watching that defense, I was watching that defense saying, whew, this is a tough front four to be going against in your first start. But, son, we talked about it earlier this week, bro. Other than the Jets, most defenses have some ballers on there. Most defenses have a guy that can, you know, give the next week we play Arizona, they have Chandler Jones, and Chandler Jones has been leading the NFL in sacks over the past 3 or 4 seasons. Like, there's always that dog. What I did take away from it is not fear, Solano. Hey, don't be mad at me. It's not fear. It's we need to prepare. It's more preparation-based where, guys, don't drop Tua back 7 steps and have him sitting there waiting for a deep-ass in route. No, have him a check down. Have quick stuff. Knowing what the Rams are going to do, be ready for it with your pick and your rub routes. Yes, I was schematically trying to protect Tua. That's how I answered it. I was watching that game saying, we need to scheme up a way to keep these boys off of Tua on Sunday. So, yes, excitement, but I want more preparation out of Chan Gailey, Brian Flores, and, yes, Tua Tagovailoa. He needs to get ready for it.
Which you'd expect, right, coming off a bye. I mean, just flat out. You expect them to be prepared. You expect them to be ready for what's coming, especially what we saw last night on Monday Night Football, coming off of the extra time to prepare. And we're going to have to hold not just Tua, we're going to have to hold Flores and Chan Gailey accountable. Like, if they come out on Sunday and it's a disaster, they look lost, Tua looks lost, Tua looks uncomfortable, we'll have to hold those guys accountable. They had the 2 weeks to prepare. This was their plan, right, Crowder? We talked about it. Their plan was, after the bye week, they were going to insert Tua. They went along with the plan, even though the schedule changed. It's time. Like, I don't care who we're playing against. It is time. Tua needs to look like he belongs on Sunday.
Yeah, and all that together where they had 2 weeks to prepare, but also think about it from the Rams' perspective. Hey, we have a guy that has, you know, those 5 snaps against the Jets, I'm not even counting. We have a guy that's starting his first game. We know he can read defenses. We've watched him. We've seen him in Heisman Trophy races. Let's not let him sit back there and just see, okay, oh, safety, split safety. Let me go to the in routes. Oh, okay, single high. Let me go outside. They're going to make him make decisions. They're not going to let him make decisions. So to your point, Solana, yes, they need to be ready for the Rams to come at him. Single high, zero coverages across the board at times, making Tua look like a rookie. That's the whole thought of defenses going against Tua the remainder of the year, not just the Rams, the remainder of the season. He is a rookie. Make him look like a rookie. We've seen good games out of Burrow, and we've seen him look like a rookie. We've seen good Herbert. We've seen bad Herbert. We're going to see good and bad Tua, but the other teams are going to try to make him be the bad Tua, try to force him into bad decisions and force him into, honestly, getting hit. Like, what happened when Alex Smith got in the game? Y'all said I'm heartless because y'all were like, hey, Alex Smith's about to play tonight. You know, they replaced, what was it, Kyle Allen, and he started playing bad. And, oh, Alex Smith's the backup. I said, blitz him. Oh, why would you do that? Because his leg almost got amputated. I know he can't run. Blitz him. It's the same thought process. This is a rookie that just broke his hip. Let's see how healthy he is. I know it sounds crazy, but if you do not think the D coordinators playing against the Dolphins are thinking that, you're crazy.
That's the Crowder School of defensive coaching, because I know that's your strategy with your True Prep Academy Saints. Blitz the hell out of them. That's what you always tell me. Your defensive philosophy is always, and I'm not trying to give away anybody your playbook or whatever, but
they can watch film.
One film session, they know Crowder's defensive philosophy is blitz the hell out of them. Send everybody. Send eight. Yes. Or in my Madden terms, engage eight. That's the Madden terms. Engage eight.
I hate talking to people like you because y'all know as football calls off Madden, and they never change the calls. I've been playing engage eight since I was 9 years old. Engaging eight. But yeah. And my film study yesterday with my team for Friday, I say, hey, guys, what you think we're doing this week? They all unmute themselves on Zoom, and they all yell, blitz them, coach. I say, yes, sir, that's what we're going to do. But it makes people uncomfortable. It's almost the same thought as why I do it in high school, where these are kids. These are teenagers. I want to make them uncomfortable in the pocket. In football terms, Tua is a baby. He's a rookie in his first start. He's a kid. Make him uncomfortable. Blitz the hell out of him. Yes, if the Rams were to ask me what to do, I would say, it's Alana's words, coach, engage eight. Go get him. Make him make bad decisions.
Drop three, engage eight. Drop three, engage eight. That's the only defensive play I know. That's my playbook also, Crowder. That's my playbook.
Yeah, I bet. And then the zone. Yeah, I love saying, oh, we're running zone. Everybody wants to run a zone. Y'all don't even know what the hell a zone is.
Yeah, zone. You know, you got the QB spy. You got the QB spy. And then you got your 3-4, your 2-3 zone, your 3-2 zone. You saw the Heat run it. You saw the Heat run it in the playoffs, baby. Derrick Jones Jr., QB spy. And then Bam Adebayo, just let him float, free safety. Yeah.
Hawk Bam is playing no safety.
Hawk is gonna be back tomorrow. I see a bunch of people texting in. Where is Hawk? He'll be back tomorrow. He was off yesterday and today, so it's Crowder and I and Dan Day and Danny G taking you up until 6 p.m. today. Have a loaded potato. Doesn't sound as good as when Hawk says it. Like when I say, oh, by the way, Crowder, I wrote this down in my notes. The Bears are frauds. I wanted to get that off my chest. The Bears are total frauds. Another reason why I'm not afraid. Like that's not a 5-2 football team. I think the Dolphins are a better team than the Bears. Their defense is good, but yeah, offensively, they're just a disaster. And who I'm most afraid of Sunday is their punter, the Rams punter, Johnny Hecker. Bro, this guy, he like reinvented punting. Did you see the way he was kicking the ball? He was kicking it at like a different angle than I've ever seen any punter kick the ball. Every single one of his punts landed inside the 10, and none of them were close to being touchbacks. Like every single one of them landed on the 7-yard line, popped right up and rolled down to the goal line for the Rams to just stop. It was incredible. It was the best punter I've ever seen in my entire life.
Have you seen Brandon Fields or Matt Hawk and them with the
Dolphins? No. Matt Hawk has been killing it this year. But the way that Hecker was punting the ball, like the way he was doing it, they even mentioned it. They were like highlighting it towards the end of the broadcast. He holds the ball at a different angle. I've just never seen that before.
Yeah, they do it sometimes when they get tight, like from the 50, they'll punt and they'll punt a backspinning kick. But yeah, man, these kickers, bro. I tell you, I've said it before. They're, you know. It's if you don't have them, you need them. It's sad. If you need them and don't have them, then it's real sad. Like it's those guys can change games. And to be honest, you're bringing it up. The field position is going to be huge. Like, you shouldn't, from a Dolphin perspective, we don't want Tua going, to your point, inside the 10 every time. Tua has to go 96 yards, 92 yards every time he touches the ball. You can't put that on a young guy getting into the offense. Even though the offense has been rolling, we need some turnovers. We need some short fields. And, no, the punters and the kickers, they really do swing the field. So, all the time of possession and a lot of those numbers, they really break down to field position. And I know it's a boring thing to talk about, but the field position of this game is going to be big too, because I don't think Tua can go 95 yards six times. It's hard to do for anybody, especially a rookie.
We're going to talk to Will Manso coming up in about 10 minutes. Will Manso, Local 10, he's going to join us. We finally got a hold of Dave Hyde. Crowder, he was fishing yesterday because I wanted to bring Dave Hyde on yesterday. He wrote an article and we spoke a lot about the Patriots. We clowned on Bill Belichick and Cam Newton yesterday. He wrote an article in the Sun Sentinel on Monday morning, basically claiming that the Patriots' run is over. So he's in agreement with you and I, with Adam Kilgore yesterday. We are ending the Patriots' dynasty, Bill Belichick's run of greatness. We are ending it officially today with Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel at 3:20. And then at 4:20, cheers to you're going to have a chance to win $50 to the Funky Buddha Brewery Tap Room in Oakland Park. We do it every Tuesday. I think Jay Figg is going to join us again today. We got Dan Day and Danny G will join us for that as well. So as Hawk would say, loaded potato. Let's shoot over to Dan Day for some headlines.
These headlines are from the Modelo Especial Sports Desk. The Rams downed, according to Alejandro Solana, the frauds last night, 24-10.
Bunch of frauds, Crowder. The Bears are frauds.
You know, like you said, their defense is decent. Their offense is garbage. Bro, they replaced their quarterback at 3-0. That tells you something about the offense.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the NFC West is just ridiculous, right? Like, totally ridiculous. Every single team. And the Dolphins are 1-1, and they're going to be 2-1 at the end of this weekend, Crowder, against the NFC West. But we saw the Seahawks and Cardinals just go off this Sunday. And, I think we got the 49ers on a good week. I think the Dolphins got the 49ers when they were really hurting, and they're still dealing with a bunch of injury problems. I saw Deebo Samuel went out. He's going to be out again for an extended period of time. But the NFC West is like really good. I think it's the best division in football right now.
AZ, the Cardinals, bro. We talked about it. They lose to like the Lions in the last seconds, but then they're beating up on these good teams. But I think the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, back to talking about young quarterbacks, baby. Kyler Murray is playing good ball. I want to see that. I want a little energy inserted into the offense, and that's our Tua. Tua's our Kyler. Kyler's our Tua, yes.
Yeah. It's still weird watching Kyler Murray play football, though, because I remember we kind of laughed at him last year when he ran onto the field. He was coming out of the tunnel, and he just looks like he's 4'9". Yeah. It's still weird watching him go out there. And look, I'm not taking anything away from him. He balled. He went up against Russell Wilson and beat Russell Wilson. Like, head-to-head, beat Russell Wilson, came from behind, beat him in the fourth quarter in overtime, which doesn't happen. Russell Wilson is, I think, the second-best quarterback out of active QBs right now with fourth-quarter comebacks. And you know, whatever, the shrimp beat him. But he's still shrimp. Like, it is weird watching this dude. He's so short.
He protects himself well. He has the baseball background. He knows how to slide. But it's the league. Solana, in the next couple weeks, we're gonna talk about him getting hit. And that's what I'm not talking about a hit of the ankle and then tripping him up. I'm talking about him trying to come through that B-gap and a linebacker sees it about to happen. That's what I'm interested in watching because he's going to be ejected is what he's going to eject through the other side.
Derrick Jones Jr. on that QB spy. Oh, Kyler Murray doesn't want any of Derrick Jones Jr. on the QB spy. 2-3 zone, Crowder. 2-3 zone.
One time they had me spying Michael Vick. He just ran right past me. Phew. I said, Coach, bad decision, Coach. Let's change the defense. I can't keep up.
You couldn't cover tight ends. They wanted you to cover Michael Vick. It doesn't make any sense. Might as well have me covering my.
And went to the sideline and said, Coach, I don't know if this defense is going to work right. What do you mean, Crowder? I'm the spy. It's not a good idea. Maybe somebody a little quicker.
I don't know about you guys, but I am excited to go to a sketchy dive bar this Sunday, 1 o'clock, to watch that Dolphins Rams game and see Tua start his career.
Yes, sketchy.
You know, Crowder.
No. I know. It's just funny. You know, you just take. You know, you own it. You own Dan. I love it, man. Sketchy. Yes.
Moving on, Miami coach Manny Diaz, although reticent to speak on individual presidential candidates, has urged his players to vote this upcoming election, and they have plenty of time to vote because the Canes are on an off week. Then they play NC State Friday, November 6th at 7:30.
That's
good.
Cool.
Do you guys hear me?
Yeah, man.
We can hear you. Yeah.
I've been talking for like 5 seconds, but I thought Crowder disconnected, so I was just going. I was just giving you more Kyler Murray hot takes.
I'm sure they were great.
Instead, we'll circle back. You don't need to do it again.
But yeah, Manny Diaz. Actually, Crowder, you scared me yesterday saying that voting on Election Day could cost me 3 hours of my life. So I went today, and God bless those people. They were wonderful. It took me 10 minutes. Got my vote in. I feel great.
Yes. And the thing with Manny, too, because you brought up the story, it's great. And I tell people, I'm not getting into arguments, political arguments with you. I just want you to vote. Vote whoever the hell you want to vote for. But just go vote. Be a part. And Manny doing this has nothing to do with football. It has to do with leadership and manhood and teaching guys how to be adults and use your voice. So big shout out to Manny Diaz for encouraging his players to go put their vote in.
You got to think of all the people.
Crowder. Go ahead, Dan.
You got to think of all the people that have suffered, even died, for us to have this right. So for you to just throw it away, come on now.
Yeah. But Crowder, I didn't see you post – You with your "I voted" sticker, so I don't believe you.
A pin? To look on my Twitter, I did the pin.
I didn't steal
the pin. They encourage you to take the pin. People are getting on me like, "Oh, and you stole the pin." They tell me to keep the pin. I don't steal. I slap somebody every now and again, but I'm not going to steal nobody's items that aren't mine. I don't steal items.
Wow, I owe you an apology. Look at that, Channing Crowder. See? He did post the pen. And look, that's how I know you voted, everybody out there. You have to post the picture. Crowder opted with the pen. I would second guess that because I think the sticker, you got to do the sticker. I posted it on my Instagram, at Alex M. Solano. You'll see it. Dan Day, also at Dan Day Radio. Posted the sticker. You got it. If you don't post the sticker, then you didn't really vote, Crowder. That's the way I see it.
Well, I don't consistently change shirts being in quarantine. And to be honest, I didn't want to show my shirt off because it was dirty. There was all kind of ketchup on one side, maybe a little baby throw up on the stomach. I didn't want to show y'all my dirty shirt. I'm sorry.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, Dodgers have a 3-2 series lead and can clinch their first World Series championship since 1988 with a win over the Rays tonight at 8. Game 7, if necessary, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
I think my strategy tonight, Crowder, is I'll keep the score on my phone. I'll keep track of the score. And if late in the game, it's a close game and, you know, there's a team either has a chance to come back or it's tied, then I'll tune in. I think that's my strategy again tonight. That's how I've been watching all the World Series, and it's worked out well for me because I'm just catching the exciting parts.
It's all exciting, man. The base running. I just got into baseball, and these are two fun teams to watch.
Is Chan Jr. in the room? Is that why you're on all this Fugazi? Like, you know, it's not all exciting. I love baseball. Even the World Series, there's been exciting moments. It hasn't all been exciting. It just hasn't. It hasn't.
But to watch the individual do their thing. Like, my son, he plays outfield. He plays third base. He pitches. He, you know, all that crap. So for him to watch the best of the best do it, it's pretty cool to see all the preaching the coaches say, this is what they – this is how they do. And I like it. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, you got me. If my son didn't play baseball, I probably wouldn't be as enthralled in the World Series. But me and him, it's a bonding thing. See, you don't know about that. You don't have any kids. So you don't know about bonding and love and having – hey, remember back when you were 9 and we watched that Dodgers-Rays series together? Yeah, Dad, I remember that. We hug. We go fishing. We have a beer together when he's 21. Yeah, you don't appreciate stuff like that.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. What else, Dan?
Crowder, I know how you're going to feel about this story. Get this. A grouper in Finland named Mikko that is famous for eating any companions that is put in his tank was recently cheered up for being lonely by aquarium workers when they threw him a 16th birthday party.
They threw him a party?
Mm-hmm.
A grouper, like a fish?
A big fish, that delicious fish, grouper.
Oh, man, he should have been part of the party. He should have been in some nuggets, man. Yeah, I don't know about that befriending fish thing, man. A fish don't like me. I've killed 100 of their cousins, thousands of their cousins.
And to be honest, Crowder, if that fish was any good, he'd have a job right now. I don't know. I don't know what I did there. Just
he tried to bring – I see you brought it back around. Inside joke, though.
I tried.
I giggle. Yeah. I giggle. Yeah.
Into the Exergen Weather Center. Tonight's forecast going to be cloudy with temperatures in the mid-80s.
All right. Anything else, Dan?
You're good.
All right. Let's talk to Will Manso then. Coming up next segment, I see Hawk texted us. Hawk's off, but he's still working. He texted us that the Miami Dolphins are possibly exploring trade offers for Xavien Howard or the X-Men. Mm. That's interesting. And we'll talk to Will Manso about Tua Tagovailoa. Just 5 days, Crowder. 5 days away. Let's go. Will Manso, he's coming up next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Talk about it. Hawk and Crowder.
Got the call in the streets in Seattle. She said, honey, I don't got much time to talk. I broke down because I knew what was next. And she said, I'm okay, but I'm locked in a holding cell till someone gets me out. Can you help me? I have no one else.
So there was a defenseless. Happy Crowder is not scared after watching the Rams on Monday Night Football yesterday. Wow. I was so sure, Crowder, because I saw it a lot on Twitter today. I was so sure you were going to come on today and just and maybe backtrack the support of Tua. Like, I was so sure of it, man.
It's defense in the NFL. That's what they do. They stop offenses. Like, the whole narrative of being scared of playing a guy against this certain defense is crazy to me from the beginning, and it's crazy now. Let's go, Tua. You know they're coming for you. Go make a play.
Let's go. Make a play, Tua. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms. At Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Will Manso, he's the sports director, anchor reporter for Local 10 here in Miami. Let's find out if Will Manso is having some second thoughts after watching the Rams on Monday Night Football yesterday. Are you afraid, Will, of Tua being thrown out there against that defense we saw last night, which dominated the Bears' offense?
Man, we live in a world of some dumb social media and media, general media narratives. And that's up there. I'm with Channing. That's up there on the list of dumb narratives. Because if there's anything we've learned, and Channing having played the game and us having covered it, watched it, I mean, every team you play has some scary guys on the other side. I mean, like, let's say you play a team like the Jets. They got a huge dude like Quinnen Williams. The Giants are terrible. They got a big dude like Dexter Lawrence. I mean, you go down the NFL, there are huge guys that could injure you and come after you, and that's their job to come after you. So it doesn't matter who Tua plays. Every week he's going to have some mean guys on the other side coming after him that can injure him, that can crush him. I mean, that's part of being a player in the NFL and part of being a quarterback.
And how are you evaluating Tua? Because I've asked a lot of people this. Is it off wins and losses? Is it off efficiency? Is it off, you know, third down? Good quarterbacks are, you know, good third down percentage guys if you look historically. Like, when you see Tua, what are you evaluating him on game one against the Rams?
You know, I'm evaluating, I think, Channing, what made him so impressive in college is the efficiency and the way he gets the ball out quickly and finds guys. He is, you know, not your prototypical 6'3 guy, you know, with the huge arm. You know, a lot of people are going to compare him to Burrow and Herbert because of the draft class. But Tua's strengths were his ability to find guys quickly, to make the right read right away, get the ball out, hit a quick slant, you know, move a little bit out of the pocket, throw on the run. I mean, those are his strengths. So when I look at Sunday, I don't think it's going to be a game where Chan Gailey is going to game plan, and he didn't do it with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Why would he do it with Tua, where Tua's going to throw the ball 40 times and take 7 or 8 deep shots and you know, slow developing plays in the pocket with guys going deep downfield? I think they're going to look for ways to get the ball quick and out to the tight ends, to Devontae Parker. Sure, take a shot now and then. You've got to try to soften up a defense. But to me, it's going to be his ability to make the right read at the line of scrimmage, and when the snap, you know, when he takes that snap, make the right read, make the right play, read the defense at the line of scrimmage, and just make the right football plays. And I think that's what he's shown in practice, and I think that's what he showed in college. I think the Dolphins are confident that that's what he's going to show starting on Sunday in the NFL.
No, Will, give me a Hail Mary. First play, Hail Mary. Throw it long. Throw it long to him. First play. Will, I did.
You want to get this everybody excited. Go deep. Go deep to Devontae on the first play. Sure.
Yes.
Just make sure you block.
Yes, yes. I heard your question to Brian Flores yesterday. You asked him if there were any unanswered questions in the locker room after, you know, making the change to Tua. And Flo, he sort of brushed it off. You could tell he didn't want any of your nonsense, Will. But his answer essentially was that, look, he made that decision. That's it. He addressed it last week. And, you know, they're going to move on from there. But do you feel like there might be a sense of maybe some discomfort or uneasiness in the locker room after the QB change? Or I know we're seeing a ton of positive comments from, you know, some of the few players who have spoken, Shaq Lawson, Mike Gesicki. How are you feeling after hearing some of these players talk?
Well, first of all, I never bought into the narrative that I thought guys were going to be against it, because this isn't a situation where it's, you know, some quarterback that, you know, you drafted in the third round or maybe late in the first round, or that's coming from a small school that needs to develop and you just throw them in there over the veteran. This is one of the most prolific quarterbacks that college football has seen in the last decade plus. He comes with that name recognition that everybody knows who Tua is, you know, and the championships and the numbers and all the things he did in college. So when the Dolphins drafted him, every player in that locker room knew that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be the starting quarterback at some point. And guys, I'll be honest with you, with all this talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick and how he's played, to me, Fitz has been Fitz. You know, he has been the reason that he was the placeholder and why you re-signed him was to be what he's been through these first 6 weeks, a solid guy who can make plays. He'll make mistakes, but he'll bounce back. He's a leader. He's a mentor. He's a likable guy. But all that said, if this was a regular offseason where the Dolphins had a full OTAs and you didn't have everything going on and they had full preseason games, to me, Tua may have started from game one and we may not have even seen Ryan Fitzpatrick. So the unique circumstances move things around a bit. But to answer your question on the locker and, you know, been asking Flores yesterday and other people trying to ask him the same, Flo finally gave in later in the news conference and basically said, look, there's no division. If you guys – that narrative out there, whatever, it's not happening in our locker room. And he almost seemed offended that it's even brought up, and we know where it's come from. It's come from the national media. But I don't buy it either. I don't think it matters, because there isn't a player in that locker room that didn't know that this day was coming. And it was never about Ryan Fitzpatrick's play. It was always going to be around when Tua is ready. It's his job, and they feel he's ready.
Well, the trade deadline's coming up. Would they even think about moving Fitzy? Would that mess up any kind of continuity? Because Dallas, I would say, Andy Dalton just got knocked out and Dak's done. Like, a team like Dallas, Fitzy will, you know, float him. Like you just said, he's a solid quarterback. Would you ever think about moving him? You think the Dolphins would?
I don't see the benefit, because I just don't see a team giving up much for a guy like Fitz. And quite frankly, I don't know who's out there in the free agent market or veteran quarterbacks, but if you're looking for a veteran guy to just fill in a few games until, you know, you already have Andy Dalton, you hope he comes back soon. I don't know what his deal was with the concussion. Obviously, that was serious. But the point being, and they're a terrible team too, but even whether it's Dallas or someone else, I think that there are quarterbacks that either are on a roster, a young quarterback that a team will just say, let's just drive the young guy, or some other guys out there, because the reality is, you know, in a trade deadline, you would ideally like to get a third or fourth round pick if you're making a move for anyone. The Dolphins aren't going to get that for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Tua is a young player and who is coming off a serious injury. I think having the voice of Fitzpatrick, having the knowing that you have that backup there and that guy in the quarterback room as well, it's just not worth it for what I think they can get for him. I think he sticks around. I don't think they look to move him. And I, quite frankly, I don't think a lot of teams will be calling for him, just because given how valuable draft picks are, I think Fitz is a perfect fit for this team and what they need right now. And I don't think they'll look to move him.
And I'm with you, Will, on Fitzy. Like you're saying, what would you really get for him? But there's another name that just popped up. We saw it last segment. It had to be 10 minutes ago, Will. They said there's reports that the Dolphins are looking at offers for Xavien Howard. Why would they move on from him? I thought they wanted him and Byron to come in and be that 1-2, those top corners, to lock down the edges.
Well, I read the same report. I think it was the Sun Sentinel reported it. And, you know, I buy it. I buy it, and here's why I buy it. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Doesn't mean I think they should move Xavien Howard. But it actually, believe it or not, has been something that I've discussed with others locally and just off the record kind of, you know, not on radio, not on TV, and just say, you know, wonder when they signed Byron Jones for that big deal. They drafted Noah and Mbignagani. And, you know, they are really centering themselves around these, you know, Byron Jones obviously being the shutdown guy, and then Mbignagani, who they believe in, can be a very good corner. It's a lot of money to pay two corners. You know, what you paid Byron Jones, what you're paying Xavien. I have wondered if just financially, if you can get a good package like you got for Laremy Tunsil or Minkah Fitzpatrick, if you go that route, you know, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but I do think where there's smoke, there's fire in this case. I think the Dolphins are I believe that they would listen to offers, and if they're blown away in a deal like they were for Tunsil, like they were for Fitzpatrick, I think that they would consider it. Do I think it's going to happen by Tuesday? You know, I don't. But I think if there's something out there where they can get a big package, and given what they have in Jones and what they just drafted, I could see where that could happen. You know, again, I'm not going to say I agree with it, but I could see where that would be the line of thinking.
I'm talking to Will Manso here, sports director, anchor, and reporter at Local 10 here in Miami. You can follow him on Twitter, at Will Manso. I want to pivot really quickly here, Will, because there was some interesting news yesterday surrounding the Miami Heat. Longtime assistant coach Dan Craig, he left the Heat, and he's going to become a Clippers assistant coach. Was that surprising to you? Because I don't know the details in terms of money and, you know, whether the Clippers were paying him more. I'm not aware of the details there, but I don't know. It just seems like a weird move to leave as an assistant of the Miami Heat, who were just in the NBA Finals, to go over to a new coaching staff with Tyronn Lue and the Clippers.
Yeah, it's an interesting move for sure. And I, look, I know Dan has aspired to be a head coach, and he's a great dude, a great guy, and very important, by the way, to the Heat staff. I know sometimes we lose sight of assistants, but Eric Spoelstra will tell you, man, Dan's in his ear. Dan's right there in the meetings and the preps. I mean, I think he's going to be a very good head coach in the NBA. So to see him move to an assistant coach job, I think there is some sort of a, whoa, why not just stay here kind of feel to it. But I think bottom line is, look, it's financial. There's financial stuff involved. The money's important. Right. Dan's got a beautiful family, and I think the opportunity to go and make more money, I think, is obviously something, number one, that's important. I mean, I think that you can't just throw that aside. I also think that he'll get an opportunity over there in a big market to showcase himself, a championship contender, not that the Heat aren't, but I think, you know, he probably gets overshadowed a bit by Eric Spoelstra, and over there, he'll go over there, and I think kind of got another opportunity to continue to build his resume. I'm happy for him. I think the Heat are happy for him, and I think he'll do well. But the one thing the Heat have proven, you know, David Fizdale left, obviously, for a head coaching job, and they have been able to get guys, develop guys. Chris Quinn now, you know, Anthony Carter's behind the scenes. I think a guy has high hopes for. We've seen Juwan Howard as well, what he was able to do. I think a name to look out for, Eric Glass, a guy that a lot of times people think he looks like Spo, and he came from that same video kind of behind the scenes background. He coached in the G League this year. They're always, you know, looking for guys like that on Spo's staff, and I think that they'll make that next move. And for those wondering about Udonis, because I know that's what people were tweeting me yesterday, like, hey, Udonis.
That was my next question. My next question, and I hate doing it, but it was my next question.
No, I know. I get it, guys, but here's the thing with UD. I haven't talked to UD since March, you know, because it's just before that, because we haven't seen these guys. But I do know in hearing him over the years, the last couple of years when people talk about retirement, UD wants to be around the game, and he wants to stay in the Heat family. I mean, that goes without saying. He is the Heat. But I really think UD wants more of a background of what Zoe has done and what Dwayne, I think, is kind of segueing into, you know, eventually, and that's being a behind-the-scenes front office voice, which means he'll be at practices and things like that. He could certainly be a voice at games, but I don't think UD wants to get that grind. I could be wrong. You know, like Juwan Howard, for instance, never shied away from the fact he wanted to be a head coach one day, and he knew he'd have to go the assistant route. I've never gotten that sense from UD, and I don't think that UD, if he stops playing now, that that's what he'll want to do. But you know what? If that's what he decides to do, I'd definitely listen.
Yep, me too. He's Will Manso. Follow him on Twitter, at Will Manso. I also saw that you and Claire are back to doing the Miami Sports Pod. I know you took a little break during the pandemic, but I saw you tweeted out the link to the latest episode.
Yeah, I'm excited we could do it. It's funny, the station, you know, they've been so careful. I give them credit. You know, they haven't wanted us around at all, you know, right. And they solely let us back in the studio now. But the station where we would tape our pods was like, that was like an area for like emergency audio only. You know, they didn't want anybody in there. So they finally figured out a way where Clay and I can socially distant do a podcast. So, yeah, we did start it up again. We do it it's released every Monday on our website, local10.com. So, you know, just like this, we just talk sports, talk Miami sports. And at this point, guys, it seems like it's going to be a lot of Tua talk over the next few weeks.
Yep. Yeah. Well, just don't let Clay talk about chicken wings. And I think everybody will be happy listening to that because Clay Ferraro does not like chicken wings. Yeah. He only likes boneless wings, which we have an issue with. But
I've heard the stories. Trust me. I've heard the stories.
Will, thank you so much, man. We always appreciate your time.
Hey, guys. We'll talk soon. Anytime.
That's Will Manto there of Local 10. Have a lot more to get to here. We'll talk more about Xavien Howard as a potential trade piece coming up next here on Hawk and Crowder.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
The only reason anyone knows Ron Washington's name is because he did cocaine.
Hawk and Crowder.
We're going to get into Xavien Howard here in just a second. Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel wrote that potentially could be part of a trade piece, Crowder, Xavien Howard. I know we were just talking to Will Manto about it, but speaking of the Dolphins, the Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to fincu.com. That's FINSCU.com. Want a chance to win those Dolphins tickets? Log on right now to WQAM.com, the home of the Dolphins. It is AM 560, FM 96.5 HD2, the Joe WQAM, streaming on radio.com. I know Noah Igbinoghene was brought up there with Will, but has he shown enough yet that he could be starting and playing pretty much every down yet in the secondary for this team?
I would say no, but the first thing pops in my mind is Stephon Diggs in that Buffalo game just eating up Igbinoghene all over the field. When he was forced into the starting role. So think about it. You get rid of X, just like in that game, Byron Jones goes down with the groin injury, so now he's thrown in as a starter and gets destroyed by Stephon Diggs the entire game. That's what I remember when I said, oh, Igbinoghene, he's going to be the starter now. But he's played well. He's, you know, made some plays. He's a sure tackler. He can tackle, I'll tell you that much. But it just, man, when that report came out, we were talking about it with Will last segment. I go back to Tunsil. So you get rid of Laremy Tunsil just to go draft Austin Jackson in the first round again. You get rid of Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I'll be honest, guys, we haven't replaced Minkah yet. Minkah gets pick sixes every four or five games in Pittsburgh. We haven't replaced him. But Love Bobby, Eric Rowe, good guy. Who was it? Brandon Jones, the guy out of Texas, with third-round safety. Like, we're bringing in safeties, but we haven't replaced Tunsil yet. We have Austin Jackson until he got hurt, and we're trying to replace Minkah Fitzpatrick, another first round that we traded. Now we're going to replace the guy that leads the NFL in interceptions. It's a peculiar approach to things when you go through the first round picks that we picked and then we trade for another first round pick to go replace the same position. It's puzzling to me. I don't know the background though. I don't know what's going on with Xavien behind the scenes. I don't know if he's a headache. I don't know that side of it. That could have something to do with it. But just getting rid of first rounders and Pro Bowlers off your team, this is a league of acquiring talent, Solana. And if we're getting rid of talent, we're not acquiring it. It's puzzling to me.
Yeah. So here's the actual what Omar Kelly wrote in the SunSentinel.com. You can follow Omar Kelly on Twitter at Omar Kelly. He writes, according to leaked sources, the Dolphins are fielding offers for the Pro Bowl talent who has pulled down four interceptions, as Crowder just mentioned, in the past four games. The source said the Dolphins have already... They already have an offer on the table for Xavien Howard and are seriously considering moving the 27-year-old before the NFL trade deadline. The NFL trade deadline is on Tuesday, the 3rd of November at 4 p.m. So, but Crowder, I agree with you. We don't know the off-the-field stuff, if he's still a distraction in the locker room, or not still, if he is being a distraction in the locker room, or maybe him and Flores are just butting heads for whatever reason. We don't know that side of it, but we do know that they signed him to a five-year deal, $75 million before 2019, and then they go out and they get Byron Jones. They give him $82.5 million. So it could just be a case of they realized, put too much money into our secondary. Is that possible? Is that maybe a reason why they feel inclined to trade X? And they're selling high? Because right now he leads the league in interceptions. If you're going to trade him, it would be right now. Ahead of the trade deadline, he's having a really good season.
But to the chronological order you just put it in, why give Byron the money after you already played Xavier, and then get rid of Xavier? And Xavier is leading the league in interceptions. Byron Jones, Byron Jones. I'm thinking of Brandon Jones now. Too many, you know, I got CTE, man. So Byron Jones, he has pass breakups. His one criticism, you remember when we signed him, they're like, he has one interception in four seasons.
Right.
And he's not an interception guy. Even the other two games ago, he had a chance to get a pick, and he just knocked it down. Didn't even put two hands up. So Xavier, if you have to decide, and like you're saying, so I'm with you, $80 million to $75 million. They're putting $150 million into two corners. I think the salary cap is going to go down because of the pandemic and the limited attendance. So that is a lot of money to have in two corners. But why keep the guy that isn't leading the league in interceptions? Why is Byron not on the block? Why is it Xavier? It's just Flores knows his defense. He knows what he wants. I just saw a report that the New England Patriots are considering trading Stephon Gilmore, who is by far, I think, better than everybody. I think he's the best corner in the league. So I don't know what this exodus of cornerbacks and all pro corners are, but it's weird when I heard that come out of why would you get rid of the guy that's been doing it for you, going to the Pro Bowl, leading the league in interceptions. He's a ball hawk, man. The last two interceptions he had, There's five or six people in the world that could pick those balls off, and Xavier's one of them. Why, if you have to get rid of somebody, why would it be Xavier? That's the only reason I went to the locker room, the personal side of it, because schematically, he's your lockdown guy. He's proven. You know he can do it. I don't know if Byron Jones can do it yet. I've seen Byron make some plays, but I haven't seen him do what Xavier can do. So it's a lot of trust in Chris Greer and Brian Flores, if they believe that they can continue, because their defense is playing well right now, especially in the last 2-3 weeks. They believe that this defense can perform at the same level without Xavier. It doesn't sound right to me, but for them to be fueling or taking offers, they must feel that way, that they can run their same successful defense without Xavier Howard. It doesn't make sense mathematically, but go get him, Chris Greer. Go get him, Flo.
Does it make you question where Chris Greer and Brian Flores and the Dolphins brass, where they see this season or what they interpret this season moving forward? Because they replace Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran, who's 3-3, with the young rookie Tua Tagovailoa, which, by the way, we all agree with. We like that move. But there's certainly a question or a conversation to be had there about whether Tua Tagovailoa the rest of the way will lead you better than the veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's gotten you to 500 thus far, who had the support of the locker room. And now, they're potentially going to trade away again one of their best players. They've done it, as you mentioned, with Laremy Tunsil last year. They did it with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah. Like, and those moves got tucked away as, oh, well, we were in a rebuilding year. You know what I mean? Like, those moves that's the way they explained it. Rebuilding year, those guys didn't fit with what we're doing. We're looking to move forward and acquire some draft picks and bring in guys that we like. New regime. Okay, that all made sense. But I think you'd have a harder time, Chris Greer, Brian Flores, defending that right now. You're 3-3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And what's the approach is what you're asking. What's the approach to this? Because to your point, Solana, there's no way in my mind that I can even make the math make sense that we believe Igbinoghene can lead the NFL in interceptions. Because this is what Xavier Howard is doing. Okay, which it's not a downgrade. We're not downgrading. We're moving laterally. I can't say a move to Byron Jones is number one is lateral to Xavier Howard. I have not seen that yet. Can Byron step up if they put him in a different position or put him on the number one? The dog receiver, that X that Xavier's covering? We'll have to see. But to make this move now, it seems, like you said, it seems very future thinking, you know, moving forward. If they get 2 1s for Xavier, they get 2 first-round picks because they got 2 for Laramie. So if they get 2 for Xavier, which a lockdown corner is needed by everybody, are you now pushing the rebuild back another year? Because we thought this year we had 12 picks. Next year we have 14 picks. Now we're loaded up. Now we're competing. Now you're going to have 14 and then acquire more 3 years later. Are you ever going to keep anybody you draft high or get on top? Like, it does not make sense to me. I can't even, you know, I can argue both sides of stuff, Solana. I can't argue getting rid of Xavier Howard. It just doesn't make sense to the defense, the man-to-man they want to run, the zones they push away from X because they know he's butt-naked over there by himself. Just the scheme of it, they must really believe in this young man, Igbinoghene. I haven't seen it. Maybe just like Tua. Maybe they've seen something in practice out of Byron Jones and Igbinoghene that gives them that confidence. I haven't seen in the game to have that same confidence.
Yeah, and coming out, I mean, everybody spoke highly of Igbinoghene, not just his on-field play, but, you know, just his awareness defensively, his attitude towards the game. Like, there wasn't anything negative coming out about Noah Igbinoghene when the Dolphins drafted him. But I agree with you, Crowder. The only way you can you know, rationalize trading X is we're building for the future. And, that's problematic when you're 3-3 and the AFC East, for all intents and purposes, is wide open. So that's my question there. Like, how do you rationalize it to the fan base who are seeing your team at 3-3, and then in the middle of the season, you're 500 on a bye week, you go to the rookie quarterback, and then now you're trading your best defensive player, your most productive defensive player? It's weird. It's weird.
And you can move on from players, but to your point, the rationalization of the fan base is going to be us watching Sunday. And watching a guy get 10 balls caught on him and saying, that could have been Xavier Howard.
Yep.
So them, they can paint it, they can talk, they can, all the cliches that organizations use, not just the Dolphins, everybody. We wanted to go in a different direction. You know, he was selling when it's high. You know, he was high as right now. We wanted to move on from him.
Yeah.
We need to cut money off the cap. We have a big draft class next year. We got a lot of guys to pay next year. We have some guys coming up in contract. Like, they can rationalize it to us. But we're going to be sitting here, if this happens now, and this is all, you know, speculation, we don't know who's getting traded, we don't know who offered, you know, it's just all reports right now. But if they get rid of Xavier Howard, I don't care what you tell me and why you told me you did it, I'm going to watch on Sunday and see if somebody's out there getting embarrassed, and that guy could have been Xavier Howard. That's what will upset me. If Igbinoghene, like I just said, he goes out there and we have DeAndre Hopkins coming up. Y'all understand, DeAndre Hopkins plays for the Arizona Cardinals week after next. Or next week, are you going to put Igbinoghene on DeAndre Hopkins? Because I do not want – I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that at all. I want to see X on DeAndre Hopkins. That's just what I'm thinking about it. That's what I want.
Igbinoghene doesn't want to see that. No, nobody wants to see that.
No. It's like when they try to make me cover Reggie Bush. I said, Coach, nope, not today, Coach.
Change the game plan, Coach.
Not today, Satan. I thought it was the devil doing that to me. Not today, Satan. Don't do this.
We'll talk more about X, I'm sure, in the next couple hours. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel, he claimed that the Patriots' run is over. Bill Belichick's run is over. Crowder and I are jacked up about that. We'll talk to Dave Hyde in the 3 o'clock hour, plus some Brian Flores sound coming up in the next segment. That's on all coming up on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Like, hotcakes, I mean, it must be a term that people had used.
Or it would make me believe that the term pancake was copyrighted or something, right? Like, they couldn't sell pancakes, so they created
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.